It's Helping Hand airs on Fridays statewide on our HPR1 broadcast of All Things Considered during Afternoon Drive and then appearing online at hawaiipublicradio.org. That's where all of our Helping Hand segments and resources are archived online. Every week, Helping Hand strives to put the spotlight on an organization, topic, or event that offers assistance to people with disabilities and people and animals that are among the most vulnerable. I'm Dave Lawrence, and with May being National Foster Care Month, this week we are learning about a local nonprofit, Hale Kipa, and a focus on the topic of foster care. Hale Kipa is a private nonprofit created back in 1970, I believe, to better the lives of at-risk youth throughout the state of Hawaii. And again, a focus in particular on a very vulnerable population, and those are kids in foster care. We're going to hear more about their efforts to help these people and ways that we can help Hale Kipa in their endeavor with Jessica Carter. She's the foster home developer at Hale Kipa, and she joins us now on Helping Hand. Hey, Jessica, thanks for doing this.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having us.
You are so welcome. And before we get into some of the specifics on what we were just talking about there, broadly explain what Hale Kipa is and who it serves for folks, because there are probably a lot of people listening, they don't have any idea.
Sure. So like you said, we're a multi-service, fully accredited 501c3 nonprofit here in the state of Hawaii, and we specialize in working with at-risk youth and their families who often have nowhere else to turn. Like you said, since our inception in 1970, we've been able to help over 45,000 youth on the island, islands. And so we really try to focus on stabilizing young people in crisis and helping youth and families build resiliency to experience success in their lives. Is really important for us. And the services that we offer, we have a number of programs that we have. We have our community-based outreach and advocacy program. We have our independent living program. We have our emergency shelter, but we also just now recently opened a emergency shelter for victims of sex trafficking. We have our transitional living program. We have our independent living program. And then we also have our intensive in-home services, which provide therapy to youth and their families right in the home. And then we have our transitional family homes program, which is our therapeutic foster care program.
You mentioned islands. Are you guys statewide?
We are statewide. We have offices here on Oahu and then also on the Big Island, but we do serve all islands.
And in terms of the, you ran down the variety of programs and services that you've got, are all of those available statewide or are some of those in only certain islands?
Some are in only certain islands.
Okay. Is there any, you want to draw a distinction on what is available in the other parts of the state?
So what I can speak to best is our transitional family homes program is only offered on Oahu and on the Big Island.
Okay.
But we do serve youth from all islands.
Okay. So if people have concerns, they can always dial up and see what's available in their program. We'll have the contact info coming up at the end of the segment. Mm-hmm. How do you guys get your funding?
Our program, the Transitional Family Homes Program with Hale Kipa, receives funding from the Department of Health, is where we receive all of our funding from.
Okay, and in private donations, I'm assuming?
Private donations, that's organization-wide, so Hale Kipa-wide is from multiple sources. So private donations, state funding, federal funding, all of those. But our Transitional Family Homes Program is fully funded by the Department of Health.
And when you think about the specific services you provide, when it comes to the most vulnerable people that you guys are caring for, people who are really in distress, who paint a picture. What are we talking about?
That's a great question. So for all the youth that we serve, we tend to serve youth from ages of 3 to 17 in our therapeutic foster program. However, we really, because it is therapeutic care, it's a higher level. They need additional services and supports. So we really serve most of the kids that we work with are 12 to 17. So more looking at pre-adolescent, adolescent youth that have been through a lot of trauma, a lot of abuse, substance abuse in their family, mental health challenges, and they just need a lot more services and additional care. And so that's kind of a broad picture.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm talking about. So you're saying that's the first number is really humbling, 3 to 17. So these are children, even though that's not the primary age group, you mentioned it, so you're serving some kids between 3 and 12 from what we've just deduced. And these are kids that they end up in your situation. Why? Because like their family's in jail? Or what is it that makes it so that a 3-year-old child, which is a heavily vulnerable age where mm-hmm. someone else mm-hmm. has to do everything for mm-hmm. you. How does a three-year-old end up at Holly Kiba?
That's also a great question. So none of our children are bad kids. None of the families are bad families. It's just really difficult, challenging situations that all these families face. And so with many of our kids, homelessness is a problem, is an issue. Like I said, mental health, substance abuse, domestic violence, sexual abuse, all these things, poverty, of course.
And they could be pulled from their family by the authorities and then yes. placed in Holly Kiba.
Yes. And the challenge with a lot of our children is that they've majority have a vast history
right.
in foster care and even facilities around the island. And so they've really been through a lot, and they've been bounced around a lot. And right. so what we're really looking for with our kids are stability, consistency, safety, and support from foster families.
That is really hard stuff. What you said, the bouncing around, the mm-hmm. instability, right? I mean, you're trying to create stability because mm-hmm. God knows mm-hmm. what that would be like at that age. Yeah. You know, they talk about this whole new concept of the early childhood development that we live with now, which is, excuse me, which is profound. It's kind of mm-hmm. like the stuff that happens in the very, very beginning of one's life, it turns out, makes yes. a really big difference in the rest of it. So you paint a harrowing picture of what mm-hmm. that would be like for someone of that age to not have that foundation, and how important it would be mm-hmm. for something like this. So now we dial in on your efforts relating to Hawaii's foster youth, and that is your foster home developer, and that's a pretty serious thing. And you're right. I mean, I don't think anyone's bad. You know, people have problems, issues. People, we all get into stuff, and then we need help with it. And I definitely, no kid is going to be a bad kid at mm-hmm. 3 years old. You know, that's a very vulnerable age. So, and that would be foster care, right? I mean, I guess when they're in your care at that age, that's a version of that. So mm-hmm. talk about how, what your efforts are with you personally and the program there with helping kids in foster situations mm-hmm. and what message you want to get out there in terms of, you know, the either how people can try to help you guys with this or just to make more of your services aware, because it's obviously a broad topic.
Yes. So in my position as foster home developer at Hale Kiʻpa, my main job is to find parents, find families that are really open to loving other children as if they're their own. Because all of our children, like I said, have experienced a lot of instability, and they need consistency, and they need love, but they need much more than love. I think we often think that if I just love a child, that's enough. But they really need stability, consistency, and lots of support. We need someone to be there for them through thick and thin. And so that's why I'm here today, is to find anybody who might be interested.
You're looking for families.
Yes.
And
yes.
you and your job is on the, and you'll correct me if I have this wrong, but it sounds like they get to Holly Kiʻpa, they're in crisis. Mm-hmm. You guys try to house them, help them, but ultimately get them into a foster home.
Yes.
Is that the mm-hmm. general, for most ages, and is that really the idea of what goes on there?
You mean Holly Kiʻpa wide?
Yeah.
So
or your aspect of what you do,
aspect,
at least.
Yeah. So in our Transitional Family Homes program, when a child is referred to our program, that's all we do, are trying to put them in a home, in one of our homes. And the benefits that the family and the child receives being part of our program is that, hence the therapeutic foster care, is that they receive therapy and they receive additional supports on top of just staying with the family. So any child that comes into our program will have therapy at least once a week by a dedicated therapist who is a part of our Transitional Family Home program.
So they'll see the same therapist mm-hmm. each week?
Same therapist each week to try to keep up with that stability and the consistency, really. And they can receive other types of services as well. We try to connect them as much as we can to other programs in the community to help build outside relationships from their family. Friendships, you know, just a normal teenage life is really what we try to create for them as best we can. And that's what we ask our families to do, is to help us do that and give them the most normal home that they can experience.
And you must vet, I can only imagine the vetting process, because you get someone like today, we're going to give your contact info in a bit, people mm-hmm. are going to get in touch, and you've said what you want. You're looking for families that are going to care for human beings that mm-hmm. need a new family. It's a pretty humbling thing. Mm-hmm. You must do some heavy homework, though, when someone says they're interested. Talk about who's the right kind of family, because I bet maybe if people are listening, they may not, this may not be the situation for them, or though it could be for some, but they may know of people. And so when you're trying to find those families, it's, I'm sure you're not just putting the word out, hey, we need families. Is there anything more like grooming in terms of the specific kinds of things you're looking for, situations? Is there an age group that most of these, I know you said 12 to 17, but I mean, that's a big, is there, when you think about the kind of person, should it be a two-person family? I mean, what are you looking for when you say a family to take these kids?
Okay. It's kind of a twofold question, mm-hmm. so I'll go after it that way. So we're really looking for families who are motivated, like I said, to care for other children like they're their own children. Like,
do you want them to have kids themselves already?
Of course they can.
But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No, they don't have to have children, okay. or they can't have children in the home. They do need to have the time to invest in the child's mm-hmm. life, to pour into them and, like we said, support them and have them in programs just like their own children could be.
Right. They can't be super busy. However busy they are, they have to have a bunch of room in their life.
Yeah.
Is also is what you're saying, because kids are a handful.
They are a handful. Yeah. Any child is. They have to be family oriented, have a strong understanding of their self and others. We want them to be flexible, and being organized is really helpful. I know that sounds kind of funny, but it takes a lot of organization.
Yes,
working on a team of people. So we ask them to be flexible and organized. We really want them to have healthy family and relationship functioning, because the child is, you're going to be, serving as an example to mm-hmm. this child about what's really healthy functioning in a family. And so it's really important that your family is healthy and is functioning.
So that's part of the vetting, I'm assuming.
Yes.
You look carefully at this stuff.
We do look carefully. We have a number of interview process that we get to. I want to say one more thing. We really like for people to be an effective communicator. We like to have open communication, because we want them to have open communication with the child as well and with us as a team. Hale Kipa, we really approach our therapeutic foster care program like a team. We're all in this together, because we're all really trying to help not only the child but also the family, for them to be reunified and come back together.
That's an interesting, do you have another thought on that?
Yeah, well, I just wanted to go into the process for, if you are interested, what that looks like is you just make a call, and Dave will give the information at the end of the interview. You make a call, you would have a conversation with me, and then what we'd do is set up a time for an actual phone interview, and that could be as extensive as we need it to be. And then after that, I'll send you an application. You fill that out. You send it back to me. And then we set up a home interview, which would be with your family and in the home, so that we can see the home that you're living in, that you would bring the child into. After that, you would go through 33 hours of training. Mm-hmm. It's extensive training. Our foundation is in trauma-informed care, and we do a number of other topics. We touch on, current issues and things that might come up in the home, but you're fully trained. So if you feel like, oh, I don't know if I could take that on, we train you and we're here to support you. So that should never be an issue. And then after that, we do another home study. And then we can bring you on and license you as a therapeutic foster parent.
And
so it is an extensive process.
And then I'm assuming you continuously monitor.
Yes.
It's not just like you hand them off the kid.
No, definitely not. So like we said, the therapist comes out to the home at least once a week.
So that's an in-home visit by mm-hmm. the therapist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And it can be out of the home sometimes too, but it's, like we said, constant. We are in constant communication with our families. Every week we talk to our families. And I come out once a month to the home. And then we also have meetings together, which kind of serve as training, support, informational meetings once a month for our families. So it's a lot of interaction, but it's worth it, and you feel supported. And I think it really helps you feel motivated to really continue to help these kids.
Before I get to something that you just brought up that mm-hmm. I'm very curious about, when it comes to dough, for myself, for example, I never had kids because it would seem like they're very expensive. And if I couldn't take good care of them, I didn't want to, jeopardize a living creature, because it just seems like, well, if you don't have all the dough that you're going to be able to bankroll getting them into college and everything they're going to need, you don't want to start doing something like that, And so I've kind of stuck with fish and snails, who I love dearly, and they're like kids, but it's just because I feel like, man, I don't have the, kind of dough to be able to do what my parents did for me or et cetera. So on that note, I guess you probably can figure out where I'm going, and I think it's a really important topic anywhere in the world, but certainly in Hawaii, where finances are so pressed. Are there financial requirements? Do you have to, because you could have a person, you're like, wow, this is a really nice person. They seem like they have a good family and all the setup. Then you're like, they don't have the dough to take care of this kid. So that has to, I'm assuming that's a big part of it, is they have to be financially prepared.
Yes.
Or not. So, I don't know. I'm asking you. But yes. To me, it just seems like a really important part of it.
It is really important, and it's a great question. So we do ask that the family is able to meet their own needs as a family structure, right? So even if you're a single parent, a dual parent, you have children already, we ask that you're able to meet all of your own needs and that you would be able to meet the needs of the child. But there is a monthly stipend that is given to the families.
And that's been, and maybe in one of the more critical, play devil's advocate for a moment. There are some people who say, I mean, are there people who game the system to get that dough? I seem to have, in the course of decades of life, heard stories like that. You'd be a better person to ask because you're right there on the front lines of it. And understandably, whether it's working in the Vatican, whether it's working in any number of nonprofits, in the government, at the highest levels of government around the world, all kinds of people show up who are supposed to be doing the right thing, and they don't do the right thing. And no one can stop that in any situation, wherever it is, because any authority group has bad apples in it. So it's not going to be anyone's fault that something bad occurs. But is there some element of having to monitor that families aren't just that stipend? Is it so much dough that people could be gaming the system?
We have such a good relationship with our parents, and I'll tell you right now, every single one of our families is in it for the children. I will say that. Can I speak for other organizations? No. And I'm sure there are people out there like that. But because of the relationship that we have with our families.
You weed that out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And you can tell when you talk to somebody, sure. You know, where they're at. And if they really want to do this, if they really want to care for children, or if they, you know, are kind of looking for other avenues. But all of our families are absolutely amazing. We've been really blessed in Halikipa to be able to have such good families that have been around. All of our families have been with us for over 8 years, all of them. Some of them upwards of 13 years. And they're absolutely amazing, amazing people. And we're really lucky to have all the children that we do go into their homes. So, you know, you can say that there's people out there like that. But I can say very assuredly at Halikipa that our families are in it for.
And that's your job.
For the kids. Yes, it's exactly.
I mean, that is why we're talking to you. You're a foster home developer. Mm-hmm. I imagine you're doing your best to ensure that these kids go to a safe place.
Yeah, but everybody also, because you are bringing a child into your home, you do deserve to, you know, have something to help you out, some additional funds to help you out.
Yeah, of course. Well, people cost money. I mean, that's what we were just saying. I mean, if you didn't have that, otherwise you'd be depending on really, really wealthy people to come through every single time. You mentioned this word, and it's such an important one, and I hadn't even thought about it. You said the word reunification. So a child has been in a family for whatever situation, no judgment on people. Things get out of control to some degree that the kid can't be in the family anymore. Mm-hmm. Kid now needs foster care. Kid comes through the doorway at Halikipa. Somebody like you helps line them up with a family, to a loving group of people to have them go be with. Is that reunification you were talking about with the original family? And how does that mean that the foster thing is intended to just be a short term, and then these kids will go back to the original? That part is where I'm real curious. Like, what is the reunification?
I'm really glad you asked that. So a typical stay for a youth in our program is 3 to 9 months. We have youth that stay longer than that.
And that's in the family you set them up with, or in the custody of Halikipa's facilities?
No, in the family that we put them into.
So that's only how many months is this?
3 to 9, but it can go longer than that. But that's a typical stay. And our goal with our therapeutic foster care program is always reunification.
With the original family?
Not always. That's situational and case by case. So a lot of our kids have been adopted. A lot of them are still with their biological families. Some of them just have legal guardians. Some of them, their guardian is the state of Hawaii. Some of them don't have families to go back to. So those are all the things
you have different situations,
about.
Right? You have different a lot, and it's not and one size. I get it. You explained it very, very well like that. And I wasn't, I realized that asking it, I just didn't ask it in a broad enough way. So, but this is fascinating. So you're saying, you said 3 to 9 months is the average, is what you're looking, and that's, so these families you're seeking, getting back to your ask, you're looking for families to do it for that short of a period of time?
For temporary It's temporary.
Is that how all foster, forgive me for not knowing more about it, but is that how most foster care is, that it's only that short? It's not years of time that a kid is?
It all depends on the child's situation.
But there are back to that grid of which you well explained, there are all these different situations. So some kids may not even have an original family, or the situation is such, they can't go back there. They may end up being in the foster care, in the custody of the foster care family for an extended, a much longer period.
It could be. If they don't have a family to go back to and there's not any kind of reunification plan for them, they could stay longer in our program. And it could be
And it could be with that same family?
Yes.
And then they'd be adopted by that family? Does that occur sometimes?
All depends.
But that happens sometimes.
It could, yes.
And it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
sometimes you'll put a kid into with a family,
mm-hmm.
and after they've been there for a while, the family's like, I love this kid.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want this kid going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The kid's like, this is the best situation I've had. And then they stay together?
They could. Our program isn't geared towards fostering to adopt.
Mm.
But of course, if any child comes into your home and if you're open to adopting them and they want to stay with you, we would never get in the way of that, because we want the child to have a stable home,
right.
And a loving home. And so we'd never get in the way of that. But that's not the aim of our program.
Yeah.
The aim of our program is to get them to a place where they can go back home with their family, and their family can be stable, and they can become successful. So that's the goal, but it's not always the circumstances.
Right, yeah, because mm-hmm. sometimes there's no family to go back to, and you don't want them to be bounced from place to
mm-mm.
place to place.
Yeah.
So it would be better for them if they mm-hmm. got with a foster family and could stay there for the duration that
mm-hmm.
it's needed. Because
yeah.
if they're a minor, and they're there 9 months with a foster family, and they're 16, who would take custody of them after that? They'd be going back to either their
mm-hmm.
original family,
mm-hmm.
or do kids sometimes do some time with a foster family, and then they go back into another Hollykeepa facility or to another family? Because if they don't have their own family to go back to,
mm-hmm.
and they're still a minor, then what happens?
It all depends on their age, too. So we have had youth age out of our program.
Mm.
They turn 18 and they, we have them age out. And that's the nice thing about the variety of services that we offer with Hollykeepa. So we have our transitional living program, which actually is geared towards any youth that has been in any crisis. But a lot of them have been in foster care or have been homeless or been in shelters. And they are aging out and they need a place where they can have a place to stay and kind of get off their feet. So it is transitional. So they start off by paying a small amount of rent and holding a job or going to school, whatever they need to do. But it slowly gets them used to, you know, providing for themselves and working. And
so you're serving some people who are a little older than 18.
That's a different program.
But within Hollykeepa, that transitional thing you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
So when they
mm-hmm.
turn 18 and they still need help, you guys
mm-hmm.
have elements to take care of them.
Yes, that's our transitional living program. And then we have our independent living program, which really helps children across the board, if they're older, learn independent living skills. So it can be anything from washing your clothes to finding a job, to finding a place to stay, to writing a check, right? I don't know if people write checks that much anymore.
But. Yeah, I still do. I do, but I'm old. So how many kids are you looking after under your part of it? Because I know that's a big organization.
Mm-hmm.
You've really described it well, and I'm glad we didn't try to tackle all the other parts
mm-hmm.
of it once we got into how much you have under your
mm-hmm.
How many kids are you trying to help right now?
So right now we are able to have 6 kids in our program. We can go up higher than that, but right now that's what we have.
6 children who need a family at one time you're trying to negotiate?
Oh, that's how much we have right now.
Okay. So it can increase past that. There's not a threshold. There's not a limit on how many you can try to help. Would that be by how many beds are in Hollykeepa
yes, exactly.
facilities?
So we technically from the Department of Health we're allotted 6 beds right now, but we have more room than that, and we can go above that. But our program is we're actually full right now, but a wait list can look anywhere from 20 to 30 at a time of
that
kids
is
looking for
kids looking for a
yes.
foster family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, therapeutic foster care, which is different than the Department of Human Services foster care.
Meaning that, and you correct me if I have this wrong, meaning that these are kids that really have some issues and they need help, as opposed to some other foster care is the child does not have as many traumatic issues and they just need a home.
Mm-hmm. They just need additional support, yes.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
so I have it right. So
mm-hmm.
you're talking about kids that really need more help and are in a more vulnerable spot. Mm-hmm. And they're so what you're also saying is there are nuances with foster care. It's not all one kind of foster care. There's a lot of different kinds of foster care.
Exactly.
And we're dialing in on kids that really, really could use a break.
Yes.
So you've already said, and I had the thrill of talking with Jessica for a moment before we went on. And so she basically said her main thing, because we're segueing to other ways people can help you. And we've already established the number one, because I said, you know, what are things that we could do to support you guys, and your basic thing right now is you're looking for family. So we'll circle back to that again. The floor is yours. People are listening. What do you want them to do? You want them to contemplate this, call you, put the word out for the families you're looking for, and you know, speak directly to them.
So if I could ask anybody out there if they have ever thought about serving as a foster parent or just thought about caring for another child other than their own, just to give me a call. And we can just talk and have a conversation. No pressure at all, but just wanting to see if you'd be a good fit for the program, which I'm sure you would be. And yeah, that's, we're looking for families. We just really are in need of families because we have a lot of children who are in need of homes, good, stable, consistent, loving homes.
I totally respect that ask. And volunteering is something that I usually mention, because I know you're looking for families. We have established that as first and foremost, mm-hmm. the number one way you can help. There may be people listening who don't know anyone, mm-hmm. and they can't do that themselves, and maybe they're still touched by this heartbreaking sort of plight that some mm-hmm. of these children are facing. I certainly am. Are there volunteer aspects to ways that people can contribute at all with you guys?
We can always use funds as well. So one thing that we like to do is go out and go out on activities with our kids as a group, because it really creates camaraderie. They don't feel alone.
Sure.
Many of our kids have expressed that they like going to school and other activities. They feel so alone.
Sure.
Because
their situation is
exactly.
totally different,
it's
and
so
it alienates
different.
Them. I get it. Yeah. get it. So you're saying people out there who really are touched by mm-hmm. that, especially what you just said, and mm-hmm. how even when you get these kids into these families, mm-hmm. they still are facing these challenges of feeling different at school, and the peer pressure among kids, the way kids treat each other is just can be brutal. So you're saying if people want to give you guys dough to help fund field trips and little activities that can take the edge off of some of that alienation these kids mm-hmm. feel, that's a way that people can drop some dough in your hands mm-hmm. and have it go to a specific and very therapeutic cause.
Definitely.
Okay, so that's great. You could mm-hmm. fund little trips for these kids to go places and see things and do things mm-hmm. and meet other children who yeah. are also facing a similar circumstance, which can undoubtedly help them in their day-to-day lives. So that's mm-hmm. something. And so if people want to volunteer, when I give your contact info, they can reach out to the organization too and see. But so there are some volunteer roles too, or do you guys not do volunteers? You're just looking for dough and families?
Within transitional family homes, we don't have any volunteer opportunities, but Halikipa has a ton of volunteer opportunities and
organization wide.
So if you just visit the website,
right,
which is www.halikipa.org.
There will be a section there where people mm-hmm. can. So that would be beyond Jessica's specific area. Mm-hmm. But what she's saying is in her neck of the woods there, mm-hmm. she doesn't have volunteer needs. But across Halikipa's broad range of services, there are lots of ways. Mm-hmm. And you can support. And you can make a donation in general to Halikipa
yes.
to help them. Or you can earmark those funds specifically for the extraordinarily noble mission that Jessica just outlined, which is creating little trips and activities that do cost dough. And that'll give these kids that even once they've been placed in a new family, it's still they're unusual children, and this is a way to help them feel less unusual and realize there are other people like them, which would help their journey. That's the gist of these groups.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, do I have it right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's
okay.
Exactly right.
Making sure I do. Here's how to get in touch with this organization. Halikipa.org, as Jessica just mentioned, it's Halikipa.org. is the website. Mm-hmm. You can send an email, info@halikipa.org, to get a general email for information. Do you have one for yourself that I should give on the air or no?
Yeah, it's jcarter@halikipa.org.
Fantastic. And people can reach you directly. You can reach the organization. I'll give their number, and then I'll give you her extension. It's 808-589-1829 to reach Halikipa. And then to reach Jessica specifically, it's extension 407. You can get the full interview, the radio feature, all of this contact information that we've been sharing, and all of our previous Helping Hand guests at hawaiipublicradio.org, where you can find Helping Hand online there. It's National Foster Care Month that we find ourselves in, May, and talking about an extraordinarily vulnerable group of folks in the Aloha State who could really use some aloha and a break. And that would be kids that are at risk and need foster care and are looking for good foster homes that could provide a therapeutic environment and work as a team with Holly Kipa in helping these young people in their lives. We've been talking with Jessica Carter. She's the foster home developer at the organization. And very grateful that you guys got in touch to do this. And I hope that putting this out there gets you some great families or some dough for some really therapeutic trips for these kids to go on where they can have a meaningful experience and make new friends with other kids who are sharing similar experiences that they've got. And I hope this is useful to you guys. And on behalf of the youngest and most at-risk kids that you're trying to get into a safe place, thank you so much for doing what you do.
Thank you. Thank you.